Because I kept on saying hello, hello, hello.
So wait, as we're talking now, is the thing recording?
Hey guys, it's Shadi and you're listening to The Hangout. Today I'm speaking with my friends Kehinde and Moni. We're just more so discussing this book I just read called Headscarves and Hymens. Speaking particularly about this idea of what it means to be a strong woman, especially in a patriarchal society. Nigeria in this case, since that's where all three of us come from. So this should be an interesting episode.
So I think we should say like our names, our ages, where we live and what we do and how we know each other.
Okay. Hey guys, my name is Shade. I'm 22. I live in Seattle, Washington. That's in the Pacific Northwest. In the US. I work as a program manager at some tech company. Yeah, I've been doing that for the past year. What about you?
Shana, is there everything that you tell us the tech company you work for?
It's okay.
Why are you being humble?
Tell them.
We have Kehinde here.
Okay. Hi guys, my name is Kehinde, also known as K Money, K Currency. I'm 22. I live in New York City. And I am a strategy consultant at one nice company like this. since we are being sketch with the places we work.
Humble brag.
Do you get me? All right, Moni.
Hi everyone, my name is Moni. I'm 23. I currently live in New York City, and I am an investment banker.
Soon to be a law student.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, do you get her here?
When are you going to law school?
So, Charlie, do you want to take things off? I mean, start things off.
How's the weekend now?
It was chill.
It was actually kind of fun. A lot of we're in from out of town, and we all hung out. It was so much fun, you know, with Norma. We all went to brunch. Oh my gosh, Charlie, I met Joy.
Wow, I was actually fucking jealous.
I met Joy.
Because so, that's yeah, my
it was
twin.
So much fun, man. It was like such, like, you know when you just have like a genuine good time with like genuine people? Mm. It was that kind of fun. It was a lot of fun. You know, we partied, we all hung out, caught up, that type of, it was a good weekend, very, very good weekend.
Mm. I had fun too, cool. I was in Spain.
Oh, really?
Humble brag.
Yeah.
Wow, what were you doing there? Wedding? Why is everybody always marrying? You always
think guy, that's what is in the air in Lagos, so proposal up and down.
Hell no.
It's as if it's like sickness that's catching everybody.
No, because I saw some shit last week. I was like, wait.
Guy, literally, everybody's marrying. It's a risk of getting on Instagram at this point. Yeah, you must run into
I had
a proposal
three weddings post. In a space of a week.
That's ridiculous.
Three weddings in a space of a week.
Like, is everybody just falling in love anyhow? Or
guy. I mean, shout out to everybody doing this marriage thing. It makes me feel like I'm getting older, which I don't like.
You know, you've been shouting at one boyfriend since.
I mean, like, first of all, this is my fucking podcast. Second of all, no, but like, when you see all these, like, movies and all this marriage, you also want to be holding you now. Oh, I'm ready for love. But yeah, I'm also, yeah. I was telling Moni that, yes, I'm ready for some love, but I feel like I only say that once in a while, and then if love approaches me, I dodge.
That sounds like me. That fucking sounds like
me. Oh my god. But I mean, if you approach me with dollars, I won't dodge, sir.
TBAs, because we can't even be doing Naira at this point.
Guy, what's that?
What's Naira?
What is that?
I don't speak that currency.
And you speak hard currencies, thanks.
All right.
So, like, I was reading this book called Headscarves and Hymens recently. It's by this, what's her name? This Egyptian author called Mona. I don't know how to pronounce her last name.
Yeah, I just bought it.
El Tahawi. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my friend came and bought it for me. So I was like, yeah, sure. Let me just read it. But it was like an interesting book because it talked about like how, the subtitle is mostly like, I can't even speak English. The subtitle is Why the Middle East Needs a Sexual Revolution. So it was just interesting, like, going through the different chapters and, like, learning about her experience, like, regarding sex before marriage, what misogyny
looks like in
society. Oh, my God,
side note. Sorry to, like, interrupt. But, like, I just saw something on Instagram about I don't know who Regina Daniels is. I feel like she must be like some popular person in Lagos who like got married to this guy, mm-hmm. and they like basically had to like remove her clit. So like genital mutilation is like part of, and it's supposed to be like if you marry. So the person posted like, oh, if you marry a man from Anioma, that they will remove your clit as part of the reason, as part of the process of getting married. That they basically said it's because so that. Because if you cheat on your husband, the man will die or something like that. So, like,
that's your like ritual nonsense.
Yeah, and I was just like, first of all, if it's Anioma that I think it is, that's in Delta State where my mom is from. And I ain't never heard about that shit before. Second of all, girl, what are you doing? It's 2019. Like, are you crazy? And it's also apparently a man who has been married, like, before. So, this is not even like, I mean, I don't want to talk shit on, like, tradition and shit, but, like, what the hell?
That's just like tradition, man.
Because when I think about genital mutilation, I think about it happening to like naive young girls who like basically grow up in this tradition that doesn't like, but this is a grown ass woman doing this choice. This is not like a young teenage girl who's like in a village that doesn't know any better.
I mean, to be fair, though, we don't know context. That happen. We don't know context, like, we don't know what's risky tells her, but it's so crazy to think that somebody's doing that in 2019.
I think it was just crazy based on this is a grown woman, not like a young girl. Because every time we think about FGM, it's always like young girls.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to headscarves.
I mean, yeah, she actually talked about that in headscarves and hymens. Like, I think, I don't know if it's in Morocco or in Egypt where like there was a law put in place to say, okay, this is not okay. But then you found people in like rural areas still saying, well, that's the law, but we're still going to do what we're going to do because like it's tradition, it's culture, it's been passed down.
This tradition is what it is.
People
want to
die on, man.
They act like tradition. The world has constructed. Women are happier and more productive when they have orgasms.
What do you want to say? Low key,
like, because they only not having any fucking orgasms. Make our
lives suck. Like,
I think it's just like a power thing. Like,
it is. Yeah, it is.
But the point about but one thing I did find interesting was her talking in this chapter like about Morocco and talking about how like women have curfew sets, like, okay, don't go out past a certain time because like it's not safe for you. And then asking, oh, why? And then they're like, wait, we're just trying to protect you from like other men who are like evil and all that rubbish. And then somebody made a comment by saying, but like these women are like so strong, like at the end of the day they're like the real superpowers at home. And then she then made a reference to Bell Hooks's Anti-Woman, basically saying that usually, like, in a nutshell, usually when people talk about like the strength of a Black woman, they're actually referring to the way in which they perceive Black women coping with oppression.
Yeah.
So they're ignoring the reality that to be strong in the face of oppression is not the same as overcoming oppression. And that endurance should not become confused with transformation. So I found that interesting just because, like, growing up in Nigeria, I know so many women, aunties, uncles, mothers.
Yes.
In
fact,
they're like, oh, I'm just staying in this marriage. I'm just staying in this, like, oh, but my mommy is still strong because she went through all this rubbish and she's still remaining in that. Like,
exactly.
I guess trying to, like, uncover what it means to be, like, a strong woman, like, for you guys. And, like, seeing examples of that, like growing up, especially like in the society we come from, and like having to unravel that. I don't know what.
On a side note, before we dig into Nigeria, I'm reading a book right now by a Moroccan author, and the passage I read yesterday, he was talking about his aunt, who basically like her husband.
Side note: the book is French, so Moni's a bilingual bitch.
Trilingual, actually, but that's what the point.
Okay, that's so flex.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Mind you, know those languages is not your problem.
Right. But anyway, so you're basically about his aunt who, I guess, her husband like left her after she had two, three kids for him, basically just like abandoned her and dipped. And her in-laws hated her because basically she was like somewhat liberal before they were married, and like she like apparently like had sex before marriage and like people knew about it. And so like this abandonment, she's basically living like in the countryside desert-ish by herself and like suffering. And then he talks about how like she has, you know, one day she basically decided that she was tired of that and she got a job. And it's basically this same description of like, we're looking at that as like, oh, she coped and she did well.
So she's
a strong woman. Yeah, she's still obviously like isolated in society. She's still legally married to this man. And like she's working like a shitty job as like a cook for a white French family. Yet she's like perceived, like she's obviously in a shitty situation, but it's like, oh, she's so strong. right? Mm. When really all she's doing is, I mean, obviously being strong, but at the same time, all she's doing is like picking herself up and like saying, I'm going to have a life and I'm not going to be like begging for charity.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Bell Hooks, always, you know, with her feminist tea. I think, so like basically, if you, like the passage you sent, is really a thing of like, they say you're, like women are strong, and like Muni mentioned this earlier as well, so women are strong, so we don't need to focus on oppression because women are going to survive it no matter what. Like, it's almost like you show your strength by suffering in silence. That whole thing, like your mother went through it, your sisters went through it, so you to go through it instead of a, we shouldn't, like, there shouldn't even be a system in place, or women shouldn't even have to be going through this type of bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You get what I mean? Because, like, yeah. Even, like, they always say the damaging impacts of oppression, which can be, like, a multitude of things, but they'd be like, oh, because you raised this child on your own, or you were assaulted or raped as a child, and, like, you went through all these terrible things, but you still came out as, like, somewhat a reasonable human being, then everything's good, you know?
I mean, not to be, like, playing devil's advocate a little bit, one thing I genuinely struggle with is, like, even just looking at, like, the women I look up to, like, around me,
mm-hmm.
I can see definitely, like, they are strong women, and there's a lot of strength to even just, like, literally stay alive and stay, like, yeah, a human definitely. In those situations. But then at the same time, I wonder, like, is it a discredit to say that it takes a next level of strength to genuinely leave and drop, like, the situation you're in? Because, like, we have so many mothers who, like, we see are in shitty situations. They're in marriages, but they're lonely. They stick it out. And, like, there's so many things to unpack as to why they stick it out. But, like, is the strength sticking it out? Is the strength, like, leaving? Like, but also at the same time, like, it gets to a point where, like, when I think about these things, I feel like I can't project my own view of strength onto it,
mm-hmm.
because I'm obviously never going to understand what it's meant to be married to somebody for 26, 27 years, 30 years.
Exactly.
But I don't know, it's just one of those things where, like, for me, being a young woman,
mm-hmm.
who obviously doesn't have that level, it's hard to understand why someone who is so strong mm-hmm. and so surviving would continue to stay in that, especially if they have the optionality to leave.
Yeah.
I think the optionality to leave to them might not necessarily seem like an option. Yeah. Like, I've heard Nigerians say, oh, marriage, when you enter it, look at getting into marriage as like a door, and knowing that that door is going to be locked forever. So in this thing, both of us are going to die here together. And so I think it also stems from, like, our own ideas of what love looks like. Mm-hmm. So if love to you looks like endurance, going through thick and thin, mm-hmm. for better, for worse, mm-hmm. not even for better, for worse, so, but for worse, as in whatever happens, I'll
for
be
worst.
Here. Yes. So if that's how, like, you see love, like, it's endurance, it's ride or die, it's like, no matter what, like, I'm always being this shit, then I can see why somebody staying in that situation, like, for literally better or worse to them, looks like strength. But mm-hmm. I'm just, like, questioning the whole idea of, is strength really you just dealing with that oppression and, like, sitting in it and saying, yeah, I'll still survive here? Or is real strength saying, you know what, like, I'm not really fucking with this shit. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, that's tradition and all of that, but please, I can't come and kill myself, so let me just dip, because I don't know, like,
I think,
I don't want to project, as you said, sorry, go on.
No, yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to bust up a good point, because, and even going off what you said, I think another thing is that we can't appreciate what it is to grow up when our parents did, and also growing up with whatever type, I mean, we still have the same-ish societal pressures, but we're also growing up in a time where feminism is so heavily discussed and so eloquently discussed. Not to say that feminism hasn't always existed, but you can literally sit down and read and learn about feminism. And we are living in times where women are allowed to be liberal, like, not allowed to be liberal, but what, compared to, like, what our parents and grandparents grew up in, we have so much more space to be free, if you understand what I'm saying. Even though in Nigeria things are still, like, whatever, but now more than ever, a woman walks out of a marriage, she is not like shit on as much as if she walked out on her marriage when our parents got married, if that makes sense. So we cannot understand, because we look at all these, like, mothers and aunties or whatever, and we cannot appreciate, or we cannot understand what it is to be so unhappy and steak. But also women who, another thing is the economic reliance on their husbands. Mm-hmm. Because most people, women won't leave because you leave and go towards nothing. You know, and also in Nigeria, a lot of the times, your husband is your pride. Your husband is your honor. So no matter what type of shit you're going through, you always stay.
So a couple of things on that. One quick thing, the last thing you said about economic reliance. One thing that's really interesting is that someone asked a question, I don't know the answer, would be to look at in Nigeria, and I don't really think there's any way to like study this easily, but I feel like when you sort of, in sort of lower middle income families in Nigeria, there usually is like a sort of duality in economics. Like in poorer families, women tend to contribute more than in richer families.
That's true.
Oh, interesting.
And so it would be really interesting to see like what marriage looks like in that aspect of society. Yes. Because obviously like our view is very skewed, but I feel like most of the families I know, it's like very wealthy families where the men are like, the women chose not to work because their husbands had more than enough to provide. And then that leads to this economic reliance. But it's very interesting because you would think that wealth would come with flexibility and independence, but in Nigeria it seems to have like the opposite effect.
It does, it because the woman doesn't have that wealth. Like, everything is in the man's name.
Right.
All the accounts are in his name. Sis, you are just a high-class slave.
But then the other thing I was going to say is that... Go ahead, Chadi.
But then the thing with wealth is, I don't necessarily think wealth is the only factor. Like, I think there are other things, like, for example, our over-dependence on, like, religion and spirituality. Not even spirituality. Let's just say religion. Because it's interesting because I do know of families who are, like, belong to like the lower income end of the spectrum, and then you still see like, even if the woman is earning more, like she'll still make it seem as if the man is one doing everything. Like I see that happen constantly, like in a lot of like families in Nigeria. So I found it interesting because I was thinking, maybe it's only somebody who's like who is married to a man who's like wealthier, who might be like, okay, let me just stay because, oh my God, like the typical excuses, where do I have to go? So I found it interesting that maybe it's not just wealth that plays a role in Nigeria, because I have a friend in America who told me that she comes from a low income family and they're actually predominantly women in her family. And she was giving an example by saying how, like, I was like, oh, that's interesting that it's lower income, predominantly females. And she was like, yeah, like, you're with a man who ain't shit, so you might as well just leave. Like, get the fuck out. Like, I don't have time for this. Like, I'm working hard. You are doing rubbish. I'm not really dependent on this whole idea of marriage because you ain't shit. But so I told her that I found that interesting because in Nigeria, that doesn't happen. Like, it's the exact opposite. It's like, both of us, that shall just struggle together. When. Like, so it's like, people in your family, they're so quick to be like, fuck these guys. Like, they're stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's really interesting because it's also like a very, I think it's more and more I've come to realize that there's like, yes, we've progressed feminism, but it's also a wealth of like, it's feminism combined with other like societal factors. So like Nigeria, for example, is a society that even the poorest of the poor are concerned with status. And one of the side effects of misogyny in Nigeria is status being tied to marriage for a woman, right? And so even women who have, you know, become to understand that, yes, I can earn for myself, I don't have to be dependent, and who have broken out of it in that sense, even if they are feminists, right, they are still living in a society where status is still important. Those two things can kind of be at odds, right? You can be a feminist and believe in equality, but you also care about your perception and how people perceive you. And like, I know a very good example of a woman who is doing really well for herself, like runs a business in West Africa for like one of the largest companies in the world, and basically like married so she could say she was married. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, she's doing exceptionally well for herself, has like a lovely network of friends, like, and obviously like, yes, people want companionship, but like, for those of us who know her now on the outside, we're like, this person is not, it's not your match, you guys. Not even like, it's not even worthy of being to begin with. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, obviously, she was getting on. So those kinds of things were like, and if you talk to her, like, she's a like huge feminist.
That's interesting.
Like, always real, but at the same time, it's like Nigerian society and status and that perception of yourself that like can sometimes be at odds with what you think and what you believe or whatever. But it's tough, Sha.
Nigeria is actually a shithole. Just. I don't know, like, I can't even imagine, like, being at home and, like, having friends who are, like, constantly getting married. Like, I can definitely see how, like, that can definitely be pressure. Plus family, yep. Plus even the way society everybody is set up. Like, you don't get respected if you're a single woman. Like, what the fuck do you mean I cannot go to a strip club or regular ass club if it's just me and my girl?
Yeah, you're talking about going to a strip club. You can't even rent your old damn apartment.
Yeah, so, like, do you get, like, so it's even the society that also, like, puts the extra pressure. Like, you can't really do, yep, like, function as a proper, yep, human being when you're single. Yep. So, damn, that really sucks.
And that's one thing for me I've had to unlearn, is kind of, like, judging people who I'm like, oh, but you should know better. But then when you think about the realities and the practicalities of living, yep, in Nige, yep, it's, yep, like, fuck your beliefs, mm-hmm, to a certain point. Yep. Yep. Do you understand what, yeah, I mean? Like, yes, I believe X, Y, Z, but I also have to live.
Like, bro, like, feminism and shit is so sweet when you're, like, outside of Nigeria and, like, you don't have to deal with the bullshit. But, like, guy, honestly, because with marriage, people respect you more. Like, I've literally, I've done in Lagos, actually, where I drove with a wedding, with a ring on my, like, what would be, like, a wedding finger and without. And police people, if a policeman stops a married woman, he's less likely to harass her than if he stops a single woman, because it'll be like, oh, we don't know who your husband, mm-hmm, is, or this one is a married woman, or, you know, that type of respect that comes with, mm-hmm, it. But, like, yeah, I think just going back to this idea of what strength really is, I don't know how to answer if strength is staying or if strength is walking away. I think it depends on context. Yeah. I also think it depends on the person, because, to be quite frank, some people are stronger than others, and some people have stronger wills than others. Some people also have better, like, some people also have, like, agency, as people have the support to be strong. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, if you're from, like, a rich home or whatever, and, like, you have parents who think your happiness is more important than what society has to say about you, mm-hmm, and they support you if you decide to leave. Yes. I can see why it's so much easier to be strong in that type of situation versus if you're somebody who, like, if you leave and you literally have to start from scratch. But because sometimes it's also, like, really scary to, like, start all over. And also, like, sometimes, like, be alone and start all over.
It's really interesting that you said, like, to be strong, because, like, it's easy to be strong. Because I'm imagining a situation where, let's say, you're in a shitty marriage, but, like, your popsy or something says, like, no, you can't leave. You have to, yeah, stay with you for XYZ reason. Like, and so you're basically faced with, like, you're not just losing your marriage, you're also losing, like, your family. You're losing your family, yeah, right? Mm-hmm.
Like,
people... And it's like, in that situation, and then if you have children, it's like, it's really hard to define what strength is in that situation, because I can really see the merits, especially for women who have younger children. Mm-hmm. I can really see the merits and the justification in staying. Do you understand what I mean? And it's like, it's not a situation I would ever want to be, you know, will on anyone, but I can understand the logic. Do you get? And I think it's just, like, a very, like, contextualized thing. And it's really tough to say, because there's some situations where, like, I would say, I'm like, please, why are you doing this to yourself? And there's other situations where I'm like, ooh, but I get. Do you understand what I mean?
Fuck, that sucks, but, like, damn,
yeah.
Because it just goes back to this idea of, like, women are strong, so you can put them through any type of bullshit and they'll be okay.
Yeah, you know? I think it also comes back to what your vision, I think you made a good point earlier, Shadi, but, like, what your vision of love and endurance is, because I've had a conversation where someone was like to me, but, like, I don't want a broken home. Do you understand what I mean?
Girl, the two parents can be there and the house.
But the thing about it is, like, the thing about it, why I say it's generational, is because, like, that person, their mother, mm-hmm, right, was in her time, like, basically, we're talking about, like, mid-20th century Nigeria, right, mm-hmm, was a very independent woman.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean? Where she had multiple husbands over time, tons of children, was a very independent, like, and, you know, she was a rarity for that time, right?
Yeah.
So it was something like a woman who grew up seeing a very strong, independent woman, but at the same time desired something for herself that was much more stable, mm-hmm, than what she had. And so it's not just a generational thing. It's also, like, what did you grow up seeing? What did you grow up wanting? Mm-hmm. And then the idea of, like, rupturing something that might be difficult but yet stable kind of goes against everything that you've always wanted
and dreamt of. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I mean, also goes back to like what your image of
love
is.
I think to piggyback off of the point of like what your image of love looks like and whatnot. I think to me personally, because you said sometimes like when you try to rationalize it or like when you put logic into it, you can see why they would stay. I would disagree by saying I don't think it's logical for a human being to be going through shit. I mean, when you do put the other factors into consideration, obviously I can understand, but I think it comes from a more emotional place than a logical place. And I think to me, I think strength is self. I think self-respect plays a whole lot in determining what strength looks like to someone, at least in my own opinion. And so for me, if self-respect is knowing what I can tolerate and what I cannot tolerate, and saying that to me, loving myself and respecting myself means that I only need to stay in spaces that only, let's say, emits positivity and positive energy to me, and anything that disrupts that is negative to me, and anything that disrupts that, if I find myself in a space that does not emit that, then I am lacking self-respect, because I know what I deserve and I know what I need to flourish. And so,
but Shadi, I feel like when a lot of these conversations are happening internally, it gets to a point where it's not less just I, it's your children, it's the other people around you. Like, I think it's very early on in a marriage that a woman would truly be making this decision based on I.
Okay, let's put the children into like the equation now.
The issue that women face is that we become the decision makers, not just for ourselves.
Okay, but then I feel like if you have self-respect and you're saying, look, like, this is genuinely not a good situation, and you have love for your kids, then you would know that you're not supposed to be there. For example, my husband is...
What if you can't provide for your kids?
But at the same time, you don't want to fuck them up mentally. I mean, I definitely see the point, like...
I don't think we can answer this question, to be honest. I think we can talk about what it means to us and what we think makes sense. But, like, it's just so, so, so difficult. And it's so complicated. And it's so complex. And it just fucking sucks that, like, women, most of the... Like, marriage itself is already such a tricky and, like, complicated and complex and difficult journey in general. Then to now take it as a woman in Nigeria who most, like... I mean, honestly, it depends when, like, you're reliant on your partner or whatever. And you just always have to keep making difficult decisions that might not be the best decision for you, but might be better decisions for, like, the marriage or, like, the family. I think that's another thing people always say about strength in women. Because, oh my God, I saw one tweet and I wanted to abuse the person, but you know, I don't like getting in Twitter fights. I beg, don't bring that rubbish to my TL. So somebody tweeted, like, there were 4 cupcakes, but there are 3 kids and so 2 parents. Mom would then say at the dining table she doesn't like cupcakes, so everybody can get a cupcake. And somebody was just saying, you see, that's the joy or the beauty of motherhood. Like always putting yourself last.
Fuck them kids.
Yeah, fuck that shit. I pay for those cupcakes. I'm gonna have myself. That's the cupcake. Beauty of motherhood in Nigeria, because that's the expectation we set
like,
for women.
You see those pictures where they like show the mother with 10 hands carrying baby on her back, carrying load on her head, broom in one hand, pot in the other hand, like literally doing 10,000 things. So that's why I'm saying when they say that strength comes from literally killing yourself to make others more comfortable, make others better. And then you see that whenever we see women, because even myself, I catch myself sometimes when I see young mothers who, like, I'll see like a mother in the club, or I'll see a mother like out with her friends shopping.
I'll be like, what's she doing there?
I'll be like, don't you have children? And I, you know what I mean? It literally, like, sometimes I have to catch myself and remind myself that, like, women are still, like I said, women, mothers are still like their own individual persons. Like, you don't become a mother and a wife and all of a sudden lose who you are, because that's typically what happens a lot when you become a wife and a mother, and literally you start doing every fucking thing in the house for the family and for your in-laws and, like, everybody.
That situation where, like, I was having to consider my mom the other day, and we nearly started fighting each other, because I was like, how can a woman will walk, come back home, she'll take care of the kids, she'll do everything, then you'll not see me, I can cook for you. Are you smoking?
Are you a bastard?
Like, so late. That cooking thing, I didn't even mind, because I remember there was, I can't remember who was telling me that, I think it's my cousin who's married now with 3 kids, who was saying that, and she lives in America,
that she cooks on Sunday for the week. And if her husband all of a sudden doesn't want to eat anything, if her husband doesn't want to eat what she has cooked for the week, then he makes what he would rather eat. And obviously, she puts her kids on a full timetable and everything. And I was like, that's fair. Like, no, you see, Nigerian women, you and I are both working full time jobs. I come back late at night. Shout out to my dad. It's because there's cook in the house. My dad is one of those people that likes eating fresh stew every day as well. They cook that stew.
Did you see that fresh fish?
And I'm like, daddy, sorry. I literally, sometimes I think of my mother. I was like, so there was a time my mother was literally every day in the kitchen making stew or making whatever it is that my father was. Because he's one of those people that literally whatever he's eating must have been made that day. Are you kidding me? Are you the king of England, bro? But he doesn't try that in Houston with me, because he knows that, like, I would even, first of all, I can't even make half the shit that he wants to eat in the first place. So, sauce.
Level. And, like, I don't even know when that shit is going to change, like, especially now, just expectation of women can't do all.
Slowly but surely. Because, like,
I don't think it is.
My mom has definitely told my brothers, I hope when you're getting married, you're not looking for women that remind you of your mother or people your mom's
like. I just feel like I know so many guys who are, like, feminists, they'll be yelling us feminists until they marry and they come back from work that day and they'll just be like, but auntie, my wife can't she cook? Do you get what I mean? Like, I just struggle to see, to discern what is, like, genuinely, okay, we see what is fundamentally wrong with how we were raised versus, like, oh, is hip to be liberal, is the right thing to be liberal, so I'm going to say that.
Yeah, feminism is in vogue.
Do you get what I mean? Like, and I feel like maybe it's a bit of a, maybe I'm a little bit cynical, but that's kind of the vibe I get from a lot of guys in our generation. Like, you're a feminist because you think you should be a feminist, not because
you actually know
you genuinely are, or like you genuinely don't want to take up. Because, I mean, if you put your guy in yourself in a guy's perspective, you would want to take advantage of those, those, like, you know what I mean? Like, it suits you.
But it also takes some time to unlearn, which, like, a lot of guys don't, like, realize. And even for women too, even like us as like women that are still growing up, we're still very young women, we're still like starting out our lives as independent women, like there's a lot of things you have to unlearn. Even for men, there are a lot of things they have to unlearn, especially about the privileges they have as like men or like Nigerian men. There's so much to unlearn about like how you treat the other sex. Because I remember in like relationships or like whenever I liked a guy or whatever, I would catch myself being so like, oh, what do you want to eat? Do you want me to do something? Like, sorry, not like, what do you want to eat? Like, I show, what then they gave me, I show affection by asking, like, do you want to eat something or whatever? But, like, catch yourself, like, in that, falling into that role of, do you want to eat? Should I put something on the table for you? Do you need it? They're basically serving you, washing the plates, doing, like, all these things. And there's nothing wrong with that. But just, like, do it because you enjoy it and because that's what you want to do versus what you feel like that's how you're supposed to show love.
Yeah, or that's what's expected. Or that's what's
expected of you, you know. And I was just like, and it's just for some trash ass braps. Like, fucking hell.
It's big. It's a big thing. Because the issue is then now, like, okay, one day you want to do it. What happens when the day you don't want to do it?
Do you guys listen to this girl's
The Receipt?
So Jola and Fakemi have that I Said What I Said podcast. And Fakemi was talking about basically like how like two of her friends were married, like the husband and wife are her friends. And basically the wife used to make the smoothie for herself every morning.
Oh, I remember that.
And then she like started making for the husband as well. And the husband who went, he used to live by himself, he used to make it for himself too. But then one day she didn't make it. And he now, when she came out from work, he was not asking her that, why did she make this smoothie or whatever? Because how she typically was is that, imagine I make it like a lot, so I just leave some for you, not necessarily that I'm making for two people. I just made enough that two people can eat, that type of thing. And it was just like, he got so upset by the fact that she just didn't make it for him. And you know, like, Fakemi was there, like, sort of like, almost like, what's that word called? Like, talking through the situation with them, and it got to the point that he was really upset by the fact that she just didn't do it for him, like make that smoothie for him, you know. And this is something he used to do. It comes down to like being with a partner who is kind, and also people who are like not like people who are not selfish, because a lot of it's almost like the personality of a Nigerian guy to be self-centered, like me.
I mean, it's how we raise our sons.
It's like how you raise them, like you first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's all about you. The woman sort of like compliments you. It's not like you. Mm. She comes and finds her space within your space. Mm. Not like you have to make space for her to come and like be your equal partner. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how they raise guys. And even you even see it in like relationships that we're having now as like young adults. Like, just some conversations we have with some of your guy friends, or some conversations we have with your girls about like arguments they have with their boyfriends. And you just be like, my guy, you're 22, you're already a problematic ass Nigerian man. So what are you gonna do when you're like 50 something and you have money? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's so scary. Like, it's actually quite frightening, because marriage, I'm not trying to say that I'm afraid of marriage, but like, it's such a risk, you know? No, it has to do with love. I mean, you can't calculate.
Because I mean, the honest truth, it's not even that. It's just like, for me, what's scary about it is that, yes, marriage is difficult wherever you live, but it's like, maybe, I don't know if this is just my experience, but like, growing up in Nigeria, I can count on my hand the number of people that I've seen and like been close to and seen their relationships and been like, yes, this is solid. This is truly a partnership.
Yeah.
And I think that when you grow up in that kind of world, like, there's obviously going to be fear, because I know what I want, right?
Yeah.
And what I want is not what I see. Mm. So then you're like,
you can deal with.
Yes, I know what I can deal with and be happy and be prospering.
Finish all this better schooling, better work, where they do for this country. I don't come to Nigeria and be doing yes, ma. Yes,
it's
ma.
Not, it's not even that. It's not even about work. It's that you cannot build. For me, it's about like, I am spending my young adulthood building myself into a person that I love and that I'm happy with.
Yes,
and that, so you do that, and then you end up in a situation where like that person is suddenly expected to take a back seat and spend their time catering to someone else's needs, right? And it's just kind of like, all that self-love we're preaching to ourselves now, what do you do when there's suddenly a shock of like, nobody gives a fuck about that?
Oh my gosh, Shanice, random like side note, I'm very, very eager and interested in starting a sister circle here in New York. I've told
them really?
Because they have to say no to me.
Small promo.
And they have to join. I feel like I'm going to talk to you more about like what, I mean, you kind of told me what you guys do. I feel like before I start like inviting people and like figuring out like the first event that obviously probably be my apartment. I want to just think through what exactly we're trying to achieve, what exactly I want the community to be about. I know I want it to be for like young African women who have grown up in Africa, now live in the US, have very like complex identities, because we grew up in whatever country we're from, but we're also growing up here. Because I find myself being, I'm not American enough, but I'm also not Nigerian enough.
Big facts.
Like, I remember some people.
I'm so scared to go to Lagos.
Somebody would be telling me, you're not Nigerian anymore now. I'm like, guy, yes.
I don't even want this.
So just like having that type of community that we can really be comfortable around and sort of like navigate through this whole phase of our lives together. Also, because I'm so proud of the girls I call like my friends here in New York. They are such impressive and beautiful people. Yeah. Oh,
thanks so much, sis.
Yeah, you don't live in New York anymore. So
I feel the same way about my friends here, but I just met them a year ago, actually.
No, Dada, I was talking to Norma, and I was saying, Norma, I met you a year ago, but literally you are like one of my closest friends right now. And the way we interact, we not even know that we haven't known each other like longer than a year. You know? But yeah.
Sister Circle, New York.
Do you get me?
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode. So Candy, Moni and I are book lovers, and we like reading the same kinds of books. So anytime I have both of them on here, it'd be discussing ideas inspired by books we've all read or one of us has read. So if you want to follow us, it's on Twitter, @thehangout_pod, as in short form of podcast, pod, P-O-D. So stay tuned. Thanks.